Welcome back to Amplify with Purpose. Today's episode will be a little bit different. Dr. Janine had prepared a beautiful set of questions to interview me about from my book, From Heart to Bottom Line. And when we were ready to go, we recorded the episode, but during the recording, my mic acted up. So some of the recording of the episode that's already been posted on off topic, but on point, crackles. And I've decided actually to do a solo episode. And the episode is based on the extract from Dr. Janine's note that she used to interview me. So if I'm honest, it's a gift to revisit them this way. Just you and me pulling back the curtain on some of the most shared quotes from my book, The Real Moments That Shaped Them. And this episode is called The Heart Behind the Words. And that's exactly what you're about to hear. The first question Dr. J asked me was, how do you keep your heart soft when breakthrough feels so hard? The reality is you can't go through life and experience all that God has for you if your heart is not soft and surrendered. And look, I know that because I've done exactly the opposite. I've built walls, I've become callous, thinking it could protect me. But the truth is, it's only made the journey harder, longer, and sometimes more painful. God had to break down the layers I'd built to protect myself. And it wasn't until I got vulnerable, and really vulnerable, that I started to see breakthrough. The kind of vulnerability where you go, Lord, this sucks. Not the fancy prayers, not the ones with all the words, not the thou art stuff. Just the real, raw honesty. Because we have to remember that He is our Heavenly Father. He already knows. So when you say, this hurts, I don't understand. I don't know where the breakthrough is. Maybe it won't even come the way I thought. I'm not even sure if it's coming. But you promised victory, so I will hold on to that. Something shifts. And that's how you stay soft. That's how you stay in the game with a heart intact. You remember, people are just people. Some hurt you without knowing it. Some knew and still did it anyway. But that's not the end of the story, and that's not the end of their story. And you've hurt people before. You're not innocent. The thing that's tried to kill you couldn't, because you're still here, which means God isn't done yet. So I've learned to say, Lord, it's all yours. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all yours. And that's when I find peace again. That's where softness comes in. Because this season, this struggle, it's not eternal. It's just a moment. Sometimes we think that success is eternal and failure is going to last forever. But none of that's true. It's all temporal. It's all just a roller coaster. It's called life. But God is steady. And that's where my faith goes back to not the breakthrough, but the one who holds it. And I want to encourage you today. If you're in a position where you feel stuck, or you feel like this is just lasting forever, or you feel like the breakthrough just hasn't come, just hold on to the one who holds you. Because maybe it doesn't show up. Maybe it doesn't show up the way you want it to. But God has a plan, and His ways are always greater than your plan and your ways. So the next question Dr. J asked me went into the book and some of the quotes that I have posted. You'll see some of the quotes on social media. And I talk about the things that I tell my clients about. The first is, being hard to reach does not make you busy. It makes you look unavailable. And I had such a giggle because I had just watched the Donald Trump documentary thing on Netflix, and someone told him, his mentor at the time said to him, you've got to be hard to reach. You need to pretend like you've got a PA that's answering your calls, and that makes you look important. But the reality is that may have worked back then. I don't know. I can't tell you that's ever worked for me. If I phone a company and they're not available, I'm moving on. So for small businesses and medium-sized businesses especially, being hard to reach does not make you look busy. It doesn't make you look important. It makes you look unavailable and unreliable. Because if I can't get hold of you when it's not a big deal, then how can I trust that I can get hold of you when it is a big deal? And Dr. J said, remember that when people phone you, you can now personalize your message that says, hey, I can't talk right now, or send me a text, I can help you over the phone, or that way managing the expectation. That also actually brings up another thought. Why is your client phoning you in the first place? Is it a new person trying to buy something from you? That's great. Then you absolutely have to be available. But if it's an existing client that's phoning you to get something from you, then you have a problem. You're not adequately managing expectations. I always tell my clients, your clients should never phone you. You should always be on the front foot. You should always preempt what they are going to need, when they're going to need it. How can you answer their questions before they even ask it? Great experiences is about understanding who you serve, how you serve them, and what are the things that they need to know at the right time. You become a little bit of a mind reader, and it's not mind reading. It is actually just understanding who you're serving so that you can say, at this point in the process, they are going to ask me this question. Before they ask me the question, I'm going to pop them a text to say, hey, you may have wondered this, and this is how we do it. Or you send them an email. And that way, that's also one of the ways that you build trust and how you build confidence with your clients. The next question leads into clarity builds confidence. Confidence builds trust, and trust builds loyalty. If you've been in my space for any amount of time, there are three things that always come up: clarity, accountability, and consistency. Clarity in how we do things, clarity in what we say, how we say it, when we say it, what's our message, what's our product, who are we talking to, specifically what do you want people to do? Clarity doesn't just stand you in good stead when you're doing marketing, because a clear marketing message makes it so much easier for your customer to buy. Clarity stands you in good stead when your team knows exactly what they're supposed to deliver. They know exactly what you want from them. They know when you want it. Clarity stands you in good stead if you're a parent and you ask your kids to do their chores and they know exactly which chores belong to them and when they are expected to do it and to what quality they're expected to do it. One of the things that people often say is, you're a little bit scary. Now, my husband said to me, that's not something to be proud of. But the reality is, I don't believe that I'm scary. The reality is that I hold people accountable and I'm very clear about what I expect. And once I've clearly defined what I expect, then there is no room for saying I didn't know, and therefore I can hold you accountable. And I think that's what people miss. We feel threatened by people who hold us accountable. We feel threatened by customers who are saying, but where is this thing? You said you were going to deliver it. And for me, that comes back to integrity. Do what you said you were going to do when you said you were going to do it. Those things are the foundational things of life. And if you can live your life that way, then you can run your business that way. And a business that's built on clarity, accountability, and consistency builds trust over time. If you think about your spouse, when you meet your spouse, if you have one, or if you've dated someone, you don't immediately trust them. You build trust over time, and that trust comes from them being consistent. Same with your employees, or if you were ever an employee. I remember working for a boss many years ago, that's a long time ago, was Jacqueline Hyde. She would come into the office and you never knew what you were going to get. Some days she was just spectacular and she loved everyone and we were all like, and the next day she comes in and it's like a thundercloud comes in with her and we don't know what to expect. And that had nothing to do with our deliverables. It had nothing to do with the way we worked, our quality of work, nothing. It was just, she was unpredictable and that made it very hard. Those couple of years that I worked for her made me focus and made me make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's. That's where I started with some of the things that I do now, because I don't like being in trouble. Let's just be clear. I don't like being in trouble. I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to be pointed and proven to be wrong. So I will do my homework before you ask me. That's how I do it. A lesson on your family, your business, your team. Ask yourself, have you been clear? Then, have you held them accountable? Have you held yourself accountable? Sometimes we need to hold ourselves accountable. And then, are we consistent? Are we reliable? Because the reality is, your customers or clients will not refer you if they don't know that you will produce the same result every single time. Successful business is boring in the sense that you must be able to replicate your results consistently every single time. And if you can do that's when your clients have the freedom to say, hey, this business does this thing, you need them. Because now they know when they recommend you that you are going to deliver the same thing to the person that they recommended to you as they do to you. And that gives them the confidence. That person is going to say, hey, Geodette, that's amazing. You recommended that person to me. That's awesome. They did such a great job. Thank you so much. But if they don't know what you're going to deliver, they're not going to recommend you because just now you don't do that. And then you tarnish my reputation. I don't want that. So always remember, clarity builds confidence. Be clear in your instructions. Be clear in your methods. Be clear on what to expect. Be clear on when they can expect it. Don't let your clients phone you. Always preempt it. Then you need to be consistent and you need to hold people accountable. That's what builds confidence. That's what builds trust. And when you have trust, then you build loyalty. The next quote Dr. J pulled out was, silence is not golden, it's a deal breaker. And this again comes back to proactively managing expectations. And it's, for me, it's a rule of life as much as it is a rule in business. Why? When we don't say the thing, whatever the thing is, then people make up stories. We all do it. I do it. You do it. If someone didn't say, hey, Odette, I would love for you to do this thing because, and give me the context, I could very easily make up a story and it could be good or bad. But the reality is most often they're not. Human beings that we are, we make up terrible stories. So when your clients don't hear from you, they start thinking they no longer exist. They don't care about me as a business. Something is wrong. Same with your kids. If you don't tell your kids you're proud of them, they wonder whether or not you're proud of them. If you don't tell your team they're amazing, they're never going to know. And they're always going to be second guessing. You have to say the thing. Patrick Lencioni talks about communicate, communicate, and over communicate. And he talks about it in the sense of goals and strategies and vision of the business. But the same is true for your team, it's true for your customers, and it's true for your children, because there's a rule in life. And I'm going to tell you what the rule is. But before I tell you what the rule is, you need to know why the rule exists. The rule exists because we are in the age where we are producing more information in one day than they used to produce in a year. Like, we are all bombarded by information on the left, top, bottom. You turn on the TV, there's stuff. You pick up your cell phone, there's stuff. You open up your laptop, there's emails. There's a million and one podcasts to listen to. There are all of these things that could be happening. And the brain now needs to go, which of this information is relevant to me right now? Because I need to A, survive, and B, avoid dying or avoid breaking something or avoid getting into pain of any kind. Anything that doesn't make these things happen or help me achieve a goal is irrelevant information. The brain filters it out. It's your reticular activating system that does that. It filters out irrelevant information. So, because of that fun fact, saying it once is like not saying it at all. Saying it once is like not saying it at all. Here's an example. I asked my daughter to polish her shoes. She was busy with something. And I said, when you're done, go polish your shoes. It didn't register for her because she was busy with something. I told her to polish her shoes and she did not polish her shoes. So I had to bring her back and say, please go polish your shoes. And the same is true for our clients. We think we've once said something to someone or we've sent out a marketing message. I run events. So I've posted once about the event. It must be enough. People have seen it. No, they couldn't. Maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they saw it, but it didn't register because the brain said, this is not relevant for me right now. Maybe it didn't even come up in their feed. Maybe they saw it briefly, but it hasn't quite registered. So it didn't land. And good marketing is consistent in that saying it once is like not saying it at all. And they keep bringing it in front of you so that people become familiar with you. So people, we buy from people we like, know and trust. You can't know someone that you've only seen once. You can know of them, but that doesn't mean that you know them. So we have to remember that. It's the same for people who do keynote speaking. You have one or two, maybe three keynotes that you consistently deliver, because if people know what it is that you're delivering, then they will recommend their network to your keynote. And the same is true for your business. If people know what it is you sell, then they will recommend your business. But you can't just say once that I do this thing, which, by the way, in my case is I help you build retention, and think people are going to remember that. You have to say it over and over again. So remember, saying it once is like not saying it at all. I posted a quote on LinkedIn the other day, and it said, you can tick all the boxes and still lose trust. Real loyalty isn't built on process alone. It's built on connection, consistency, and clarity, which we've mentioned it before, clarity, accountability, consistency. And this was because when I worked in South Africa, I worked with the insurance space and I worked with the regulators. And at the time, treating customers fairly was top of mind regulation, and we need to implement it into the business. And it's easy to say, here's the regulation, check the box. But it's not about checking the box. You can still check the box and deliver a poor experience. You can check the box and regulatory meet the requirement, but still not give the client what they want or need. And then we move to Australia. And Australia is really good at checking boxes. Every box is checked, but there is very little connection. There are very little organizations that connect with their clients, that make you feel like you're human, make you feel like you matter. So yes, you've checked the regulatory box, and maybe you've got the process that sent the email, but the email is bland and it's empty and it's a ChatGPT thing, and actually it doesn't matter. So it's important for us to remember that checking the box is not what it's about. It's the same with the Bible. There is the letter of the law, and we know that the Bible says that the law comes to kill, but I have come, Jesus has come to bring life. So it's the spirit that we need to think about. It's not about checking the box. Yes, there's a regulatory requirement that may say that you need to sign here and you get the client to sign here. But what the requirement actually wants you to do is to make sure that your client knows what they're buying and what the implications are of this purchase. So for instance, if you're in a insurance environment, it's about, I need to limit my risk. I need to manage the risk, which means I really should not leave my car keys in the car while my car is parked outside on the road, because that's not limiting the risk. And if that happens and I did leave my car keys in the car, then when my car is stolen, likely, then they won't be paying out because I didn't do anything to mitigate the risk. That was not a smart thing to do. But if you don't tell clients that's what it's trying to do, then you've just checked the box. And when they do accidentally then leave their keys in the car because they've got a fob and not an actual key and they think it's fine, now the claim is declined and they're upset. You've got a poor experience. You've made them feel terrible. All of those things matter. And the reality is people don't remember your product. They don't remember anything. They remember how you made them feel. And that makes them feel terrible. So they will not trust you again. The next one comes to that point, which is clients rarely leave with a bang. Most slip out the side door quietly. It's not often that people complain. South Africans vote with their feet most often. Australians, in my experience, are not very confrontational, so they will also vote with their feet. And actually, most people don't like being in a situation where they have to be confrontational. It's a personality thing. I don't mind confrontation, so I'll take you on head first. But most people actually aren't like that. And they don't enjoy being in that position. It's not nice to have to go fight for something that belongs to you or that is right. And we have to remember that. Your clients aren't going to complain. So how do you pick up complaints? When I was in insurance in South Africa, when I went into insurance brokers and was helping them to figure out what does this client experience thing mean for them, the first question I always ask them is, please, can I see your complaints register? So it would be a register of some description that just keeps track of all the complaints you've ever received from your existing clients and those who have left. And they will without fail tell me, we don't get complaints. Actually, you do. And this is the lesson for all businesses. You do get complaints. They may not say the word complaint, but you do get complaints. How do they express dissatisfaction? Sometimes it's in emails that are all caps. Sometimes it's emails that are red. Sometimes it's people phoning you saying, where is the thing you promised me? Because you said you would and did not. That is an expression of dissatisfaction. That is a complaint. Now, if you don't pay attention to those, then those clients will leave. And the worst part is that they will tell their friends about it. We are most likely to talk about negative experience, and we sometimes tell people about great experiences. So what's happening for you in terms of advocacy is the exact opposite. You've got people telling other people how bad your business is, and it may have been an anomaly, but they're telling other people how bad your business is. And the Dunbar number says that we have relationships with at least 150 people. If you are on the unlucky side of that equation, that one person goes tells 150 of their friends and family about this poor experience, who then also each go and relay the 150 to their friends and family. And before you know it, you have a bad reputation from one poor experience. Now, having said that, should you pay attention and notice that it's an expression of dissatisfaction and recover it? Clients who have a poor experience and have that experience recovered are 4 times more likely to recommend your business than one that gets a good experience in the first place. So there is incentive for you to go and recover that experience. Don't let them slip out the back door. Plug the holes in your business, because a client that you've brought on that is your advocate will stay with you. They will stick with you in good times and in hard times. Which also brings me to the next quote, which is competition fades and community thrives. Now, some of you may have heard me say before, I don't really believe in competition anymore. And I'll explain why before you send me hate mail. Competition means same, same. Two of the things are exactly the same. The situation is the same. The economy is the same. The product is the same. The person is the same. The message is the same. In that case, yes, they are competing. With the exception of large organizations that don't have people behind them, but corporate brains and like structure, and it's not a person, it's actually just a big machine with zero heart most of the time. Sorry, guys. With the exception of those, small and medium-sized businesses are organizations that are built around heart and around people and around delivering something specific for their clients. Now, if you buy into the fact that we are all created uniquely, and the Bible says fearfully and wonderfully made, there is only one of you, then that stands to reason that if there's only one of you, then there must be something that one of you needs to deliver. And if you are operating in your unique calling, then it means your message, your call cannot be duplicated by someone else. It can only be done by you. And your job is to walk in your call, because when you walk in your call, you don't have competition. You have the unique skills, experiences, thought patterns, ideas, strategies, words that nobody else has. And therefore, there's no competition. Now, business is not for everyone. If it's not for you, then go back to what you're called to do. But if it is for you, then honor your call. I spent the first 3 years of my business listening to coaches and consultants. Do this, say it like that, do that. No, be more like that. Be more like who? Say that thing. And it got to the point where I was cutting off my arms and legs to fit into someone else's box. And I was miserable. Until I had a moment where I just realized that I'm not made to do that. I can't wear your armor. I have to wear my own armor. And if I'm going to wear my own armor, I have to do it my way. I have to do it the way that God's called me to do it. And the moment I did that, things changed for me. Because there's a peace and a clarity that comes from fulfilling the purposes that you are created for. And the same is true for your business. Your business is unique. It solves a problem in a unique way. Yes, you may sell cement, but you touch lives through selling that cement, and your purpose is to grow and to create a better future for people and to build sustainable homes. Therefore, you're not like the other cement factories that just sell cement. You're actually about the community. And people buy into the thing that's behind the profit. Why are you doing it? When you are clear about your call, about your purpose, about the purpose that your business serves, people can decide whether or not that resonates with them. And more likely than not, when it does resonate with them, they become loyal advocates because there is an affinity. Think about the term local is lekker in South Africa. Proudly South African. In Australia, it's proudly Australian, Australian owned, made with 100% Australian product. It's the affinity that people have. Why are they saying a South Australian brand? Because people have an affinity to local business, because they want to support local business, which is, by the way, more often than not, a real person with real emotions, real feelings, and a real personality. So lean into that. The last quote was, maximize loyalty through meaningful experiences. And for some time, I talked about that and I was like, I maximize loyalty through meaningful experiences. But the reality is very few people actually understand what that means. So I'm going to help you. My family and I came to Australia in 2020 in the heart of COVID. And when we came, like everyone else who had to come into the country, we were in 15-day hotel quarantine, not 14. We also thought it was 14. No, jokes on us. And you, if you thought so, it was a 15-day hotel quarantine. So it wasn't free. It's not like someone did you a favor and said, hey, we're going to put you up in this free hotel. No, we paid to live for 15 days in a hotel room. And that, for many people, was a very difficult time. Every time you open the door, you've got someone with masks on. You've got the police checking that you haven't left the room. You've got the nurse being very vigorous when she's doing your hotel quarantine test. It was rough. And the hotel that we stayed in was the Pullman in the Adelaide CBD. And one day we had run out of milk for coffee, which is tricky because at the time we didn't have an Australian bank account. We've just landed in the country. We haven't had an opportunity to open a bank account. So we didn't have a bank account. I didn't know anything about where I was. It's not like I came here before we came here. This was my first time I put my feet on South Australian soil. So I didn't know what shops there were. I didn't know how to do online shopping. and doing online shopping, do they deliver to the hotel? Turns out the place that I thought would deliver didn't deliver. So it was very tricky. And I love coffee. So we had run out of milk. The hotel obviously provides you with milk. And we ran out of it. And I phoned the housekeeping team and asked if they would mind sending us some. And they were like, yeah, sure, no worries. They did. Now, they would be well within their rights to just drop the milk and run, knock and run. Like, it's, what do the kids call it? Ding dong ditch. They would have been in their rights to do that, and it would have been fine. Instead, what they did is they sent a little brown packet, and there's a post on LinkedIn about this with the little photo, with the photo from the packet that said something. They wrote a little quote on it. I can't remember right now what the quote was. And they signed it, the housekeeping team. The fact that someone took the time to write a little note to brighten our day and then to sign it as the housekeeping team meant so much to us. For me, it said that in this hotel, there is at least one person who understands that what we're going through is actually not a nice thing. It's actually quite tricky. And yes, we're paying for it, but that doesn't mean that we don't feel like this is an icky thing. So they could have had one person writing a bajillion of those notes on the brown paper bags. It would have made no difference. I received it as somebody downstairs cares. That's amazing. Then they went further and they really went out of their way to try and lighten the mood for us because it was really hard. They would have champagne parties and they'd send us afternoon tea with cookies for the kids to decorate and all kinds of stuff. But there's one thing that they also did. They approached the local libraries who were getting rid of their books or sending the books into the community. And they phoned our room and they said, look, we have a list of these books for children. These are the genres. These are the titles. We've contacted the library. They're happy to donate these books. So if you want any of these books to read to your kids while you're in quarantine and then to take home, please let us know which ones you want. That meant a lot because we came with nothing but our clothes. Actually, I didn't have books for my kids to read. I didn't have a SIM card, so I couldn't access anything. I couldn't download anything. The network was shoddy. It was just an interesting situation. And I loved reading to my kids, but I couldn't because I couldn't pack the book in my bag. I had weight limits. And the hotel made sure that we got some really cool books, which my girls still read to this day, by the way. Now, why am I telling you this? Because quite often we think that customer experience and surprise and delight has to be this grand gesture and it's going to cost a lot of money and it's got to be extravagant. That's actually not what it's about. For me, it was the fact that somebody authentically cared. There was a real person who took a moment and thought, maybe I can brighten their day. And it was real. It was authentic. And it made me feel valued. Because you know what? At the end of the day, your customers want to feel seen, heard, and valued. And if you can do those things, you will have a client for life. So again, the hotel was the Pullman in Adelaide. They're amazing. A big shout out to the Pullman Hotel in Adelaide. Thank you so much for taking care of us and our family during that time. We really appreciate everything you did. And for those of you who are wondering, I'm not a hotel, how do I do it? You know what? I actually spoke to a client yesterday and I said, the reality is that large organizations have this big bucket and they fill the bucket constantly. So if you think about client churn, one in, one out, you have clients coming in and as one comes in, another goes out. Now, if you're a large corporate and you have a system that sits behind it and big data and you're spending a bajillion dollars on ad, that's fine because you're going to have a cycle. You're going to rotate them, rinse, repeat the whole time. But the reality is medium and small size businesses actually don't have that luxury. You have to look after your kids. So how do you do that? Instead of sending those emails, that is, social proof, features and benefits, hey, buy this thing, rinse, repeat. Maybe just pick up the phone and say, hey, Odette, how are you going? Not to sell you anything. Not to push my latest product, but just to connect. Just, you're human, I'm human. I care about you as my client. How are you going? What's been happening for you? I'm interested to know. And quite often during those conversations, things will come up that will give you insight into their world, which you can use to innovate and to meet their needs and to provide better value. But over and above that, the biggest thing you get out of those conversations is connecting with human to human. And that's where the gold is. That's where the businesses who do customer experience and client experience stands out from the rest. If your heart could whisper one thing to every entrepreneur listening right now, what would you say? For me, it's about staying aligned. It's about staying the course. I've said it before, if you're called for business, then honor your process because God honors your faithfulness. If you're not called for business, go back to the thing you were called for. Don't put on someone else's armor. Wear your armor, wear it well, and be determined to do this thing that you've been called to do because the truth is nobody else can do it. Whatever it is, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, God gave you those children so that you can be the best mom to those kids and nobody else can do it. If he gave you a business, then you serve your clients to the best of your abilities because nobody else can serve them and make the impact that you can make. If you're a pastor, then do that. If you're a business owner, then do that. But do what you're called to do. That's where freedom is. That's where peace is. So thank you so much for joining me today. If something I shared today landed, if a quote hit you or a story felt familiar, let that be a nudge. Behind every insight is a real moment. And behind every real moment is a choice to keep going, to stay aligned, and to lead with heart. You can grab my book From Heart to Bottom Line on Amazon. The link will be in the show notes. It's full of this kind of practical wisdom and soul-aligned strategy. And if you're ready to build client loyalty in a way that is real and repeatable, I'd love to help. Until next time, keep it real, keep it on point, and keep your heart in the game.